for this sermon series, not me. We're trying to explain to you, when God calls us to serve in ministry, He gives us the freedom to decline. And so when God calls you to serve, you can say, not me. And we started this sermon series with the five rejections given by Moses. We trace through the life of Moses to see a person who is reluctant to accept the call to serve God. And that's Moses. And tonight, we go to the end of this series, tracing through Moses' life to see that when one of the most famous heroes in the Bible, he started off his calling ministry saying, not me, God, five times. When you closely look at the reason why Moses rejected the call to serve God, you realize he have his identity crisis. He think, I'm not capable. I cannot do it. What is it that God asked me to do? Why don't you ask someone else to do it? I can resonate with that because when somebody first asked me to serve, I also felt like, I'm just a young Christian. Are you sure you're asking me to lead a Bible study? When somebody asked me to serve in other ministry roles, I also felt like I'm not capable. I don't know how to do it. I don't want to look like a fool when I accepted the call to serve and I don't know how to do it. We have all sorts of excuses. Wrong time. I'm busy. Wrong place. I'm going to move into a new country. I can't stay here and I cannot serve. And wrong person. Ask somebody else. Well, accepting God's call can be depressing. If you look through the life of Moses, you'll realize just take off your normal pair of eyes looking at Moses as the hero in the Bible, but just look at his life from a bystander point of view. His life is a failure, don't you think? When Moses was born, it was the worst time for a Hebrew baby boy to be born, because everybody who's born as a Hebrew are supposed to be murdered, to be killed. And so his birth posed a danger to everybody around him who's trying to protect him. So his birth is a mistake. Well, somehow he ended up in the palace. You all know the story. And then when he's 40 years old, he had this urge to save his people. And you know how he did it. He murdered an Egyptian. And because of it, he actually need to flee from his adopted grandfather. And he need to flee into the wilderness for the next 40 years. So Moses' life is a failure. At his 40, when people make the most of their life, when people are very established, he's not even a prince. He's a fugitive, not able to do anything. And so when he's 80 years old, when God's call came to him to ask him to serve again, Moses lost all his confidence. He said, not me. Even though he reluctantly accepted God's call, that doesn't mean it's smooth sails for him. Remember in our second sermon, there's so much setbacks. Everything Moses do is wrong, to the point he questions and he asks God, really? Is it me that you are asking to save the Israelites? I don't think so. Every time I went to Pharaoh, something bad happened. So I don't think this is the right calling. And finally, God gave him a very specific assignment. Lead my people to the promised land. Is he able to deliver? No, he's not able to deliver. By the time of his death, the people are still wandering in wilderness. Even Moses himself is not able to go to the promised land because of disobedience. What an epic failure. He died a lonely death in the desert, and he died in a grave that's unmarked. And the only thing God is calling him to do, he's not able to deliver. Well, if I tell you, this is God's calling, go accept it. God is calling you to serve. And you look at the life of Moses. Obviously, you wanted to say, not me. Moses can have a very comfortable life at his 80. He's already living in the wilderness for a long time. So why don't he just stay the status quo, everything as usual, have his two child and grandchild, and just do nothing, or enjoying his life, easy, comfortable. But then, after accepting the calling to serve God, he became a failure, and a failure that we can all see from the Bible. And so, not me, God, I don't want that. I just want to be a nobody. I just want to live a normal and comfortable life. Well, accepting God's call, in Moses' case, he actually had a very tough assignment. Do you know the people he's leading? God called them stiff-necked. And tonight, I want to dive into a part of Scripture, Exodus 32 and 33, that records an example of the quintessential example of rebellion by this group of people. You should know that, the golden calf. So anyone able to recall the details of what happened there? You know, God's major commandment is do not worship idols. Idolatry is one of the sins he hated the most. And this golden calf incident is very ironic. The people asked Aaron, Moses' brother, by the way, asked him, "Where is Moses? Make us some gods, and this God we'll worship, because this is the God that led us out of Egypt." And Aaron complied, and he made a golden calf for them to worship. When God heard about it, his anger burns. Right away, God told Moses, "You know what? I'm not going to lead these people. I want to raise a new nation after you. So forget about the assignment. I'm no longer the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. From now on, I want to change my name to the God of Moses." Moses, what do you think? Moses at that point, if he's being selfish, he can say, "Oh yeah, now the God is related to my name instead of my patriarchs." And so Moses at that point, he decided, "No, I'm not going to be call you God of Moses. God, I want you to continue to be with us." But then when Moses go down the mountain and see what the people are doing, Moses was furious. Do you remember what he did? Moses is a dramatic guy. The first thing he did, he burned the calf. After burning it, ground it into powder, scattered the powder on the water and asked the Israelites to drink it. Isn't it dramatic? After that, he's not done yet. I thought Moses was trying to talk to God saying, "Spare these people." But when Moses went back to the people, he did things even more dramatic. The next thing he did, he said, "Everyone who is with the Lord, come to me." And so all the Levites come to him. And then he told them to go around and kill everybody who worshipped the idols. And so on that day, 3,000 Israelites died. And also God added to a final punishment to the people. He sent a plague. The last plague that God sent is on the Egyptians. But this time God sent a plague to his own people, the Israelites. Quintessential example of rebellion. And then God gives a verdict for the Israelites in Exodus 33, verse 3. "I will not go up among them, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people." God is giving a response, not me. God is saying, "I am not going up among them, not me." God decided to withdraw and say, "Moses, continue the mission to send the people to the promised land. I will send an angel to go with you, but not me. I'm done. I'm not going with these people." If you were Moses, when God first called you, you have all those five excuses. What am I to say to them? Who am I? Like, I'm not able to do it. Ask somebody else. And God always say, "I will be with you." But at this point of the journey, God is saying, "I will not go up among them." If you were Moses, what do you want from God? "Go with me. Don't leave me. If you're not going, I'm not going. I don't want to go with these stiff-necked people. I only do it because you asked me to do it. And now you said not me, then how about me? Also not me, both of us, not us. Obviously, if you were Moses, the first thing you can think of is, I need to talk to God. I need to have a conversation with him. Go with us. Go with me. And so in Exodus 33, verses 11 to 23, there is a very interesting conversation between Moses and God. This is the problem that Moses is trying to face. God is giving a not me response. And so now, Moses needs to talk to God. In Exodus 33, 11, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. This verse set up the whole conversation. Before you hear the conversation between Moses and God, this verse gives you a very important piece of info. It said, the Lord speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to a friend. Nobody gets this treatment of speaking to God face to face as a friend. Only here is the first time God is saying, Moses, I'm speaking to you as a man speaks to his friend. So what are your expectations for a friend-to-friend conversation? We have it all the time after our service. Do you want to go to Blackball? Yeah, I wanted to go. So you are going to pick up this one. You arrange the logistics. Those are friend-to-friend conversation. But how about the friend-to-friend conversation between God and Moses? How is Moses going to approach God and change his mind to go with him again? When you dive into the conversation, it doesn't sound like a friend-to-friend conversation to us. It's really interesting. The Bible set us up saying that this is a friend-to-friend conversation. But when you look at it, you see Moses making three petitions. Very formal, very unlike our friend-to-friend conversation. Moses' first petition is found in verse 33, verse 12 to 13. Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. So what is Moses asking God in this petition? He's asking God, show me your ways. The reason to show him the ways is to find favor in God's sight. Basically, Moses is saying to God, show me your ways. In order to show Moses God's way, God needs to be with him in order to show him his way. So basically, Moses is indirectly asking God, go with us continuously. Continue to show us the way to go to the promised land. Do not leave us. Do not just let an angel to guide us. Moses is saying, come with us, Lord. Is it persuasive? When you look at it, I'm like, wow, Moses, why can't you be more direct? It's so hard to reach your intent. Just reading these two verses, just say, God, go with us. But God gets it. Look at God's response to Moses' first petition in Exodus 3:14. God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Does it bother you? If God told Moses, I'm not going to go among them, I'm not going to go up among them, and then Moses mentioned those two indirect verses, you don't really know what he's trying to say, and God immediately say, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Did you see the disconnect? God directly answer the question that Moses want. Even Moses is not phrasing his question or his demand or petition in a very straightforward way. What does that tell you about God? He wants to go with them. That's why when he hears Moses' first petition, even though it's not very straightforward, God immediately says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." This is the only thing Moses is trying to get before he starts this conversation. And in God's first response, he says it right away, "I will go with you." It means that God's heart is to go with them. And so during the journey that God and Moses have together, Moses in this conversation, Moses knows the heart of God. So he's able to ask for something that God will immediately grant, because this is also in God's heart. He wants to go with his people. But then Moses is not done. He made his second petition, which I think is more direct. In Exodus 33, verse 15, Moses said to the Lord again, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here." Well, basically, he reiterates what God already agreed. Didn't God just say, "I will go with you"? So he said, "Okay, I confirm you are going with us, right?" And then Moses say another thing in verse 16. Moses say, "For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" If you have the Bible, you can also turn it open and follow it really closely. What is different from here to the previous conversation? What is something that is added which is not yet shown in the previous verses? I and your people. Previously, it's always about Moses. I go with you in singular. I go with you. Moses is talking to God. It's just a conversation between friends. But in Moses' second request, there's a twist. I and your people. I and your people. Moses repeated it twice, meaning Moses is also transformed as he accepts the call of God. He cares about his people. He has compassion. When God says, "I will go with you, I will give you rest," that "you" is singular. I will give Moses rest. I will go with you, Moses. But then Moses is saying, "Not just me, God. I and your people, you go with us." Moses wants to make sure all the Israelites, every one of them, is included. So he continued his petition. So see how God responds to it. In God's second response, which is found in the verse 17. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'This very thing that you have spoken, I will do. For you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name.'" Same thing. God granted this request right away. What does that tell you about God? He wants to go. He wants to go with his people. And what tell you about Moses in this conversation? He knows the heart of God. Even God say, "I will not go up among them." God knows, Moses knows God's heart. So he's able to put forward a petition that God will answer right away. We always say, "What is the will of God? What is it that God wants? How come you don't know? You're supposed to know like Moses, so that you are able to ask God something that he will grant right away." How did Moses develop that knowledge of God's heart? Because he accepted God's call to serve him. During this journey, during those 40 days on the mountain, during those times when God is telling Moses all the laws, all his heart desire for the people, Moses got to know the heart of God. And so he's able to have this friend-to-friend conversation where his heart is connected with God, and he's able to ask for something that God will grant right away. God said, "The very thing that you have spoken, I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Well, Moses gets what he wants, right? Because the whole point for this conversation is God saying he's not going up. And that's why God and Moses need to have this conversation. Moses wanted to persuade God, come with us. I know your heart. You wanted to come with us. And so God said, yeah, I will do exactly what you have asked for. I will do it. Is there anything need to be talked about between them? Nothing. Problem solved. God is going to be with them, going up to the promised land. So I think the conversation can end here. High note, you have found favor in my sight, and God say, I know you by name. A high note, always end on a high note, and you have something to treasure, right? So end of conversation. Let's go down and deal with the people and deal with the mess, and we moved on. But this conversation is really intriguing to me because it does not end here. Moses had a third petition. Let's take a look at what Moses wants from God in verse 18. Show me your glory. What is it? It's so intriguing to me. First of all, what is God's glory? Second, why do you ask for God's glory at this point? He already agrees to go with you. What's the point of glory? And also, Moses have seen God's glory before, did you know? He saw God's glory when God performed those 10 plagues in Egypt and how God killed all the Egyptians but preserved the Israelites. Moses saw God's glory when God parted the Red Sea for him. So God already saw God's glory before. Why now ask for God to show his glory again? This is really intriguing. I don't get it. But then I felt like I slowly find a way to process this request from God's answer. Let's go to God's response to the third petition. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, how did God answer this request of, please show me your glory? God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for men shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Moses asked for God's glory, and God said, I will have all my goodness pass before you. The glory of God equals to the goodness of God. And you know, God is not surprised by Moses' request. Everything that Moses asked, God said yes. And he's going to do it for Moses. Because everything that Moses asked is how God is training him and molding his heart at the moment when God calls him. And he is expecting Moses to go on this journey to want to know God more. Essentially, when Moses said, God, please show me your glory, Moses is actually asking God, God, show me more of yourself. I wanted to know you more. Moses has transformed from a reluctant servant to a point that all that he wants is the glory of God. He wants more of God. He wants to know more of him. In this conversation between God and Moses, I think God is teaching me something very important. Whenever we think of calling, God calls you to serve him in a certain ministry. Our immediate thought is, oh, another thing to do. Let's take a look at my schedule. I already committed to this, this, this. Well, Saturday afternoon, I can spare 3 hours. Okay, I say yes to this call to serve. Every time when we think about the call to serve, it's about doing stuff for God. But in this conversation between God and Moses, God is showing me calling is God's invitation to himself. When we accept the call of God, we are on this journey to discover the goodness of God. Think of Moses. In Moses' life, when God first called him in a burning bush, God said, "My name, I am who I am." God is revealing himself to Moses. But at that revelation, Moses is not ready, so he had 5 reasons to say no to God. But that he is journeying towards this call to serve God, to lead the people out of the promised land, Moses finally come to a point. There's a million things he can ask God to do, but the only thing, the totally unnecessary petition in that context, he asked God, "I want more of you. I want to see your glory." The life of Moses actually mirrors our own experience. Knowing God is not an instant event. We thought that when we first become a Christian, we know God already. But it's a long time process for Moses to get to know only the goodness of God is what he wants. He wants more of God rather than the things that God can offer to him. And so, did you know the way that God responded to his 3rd petition? There's a second part to it, which is found in Exodus 34, 6 to 7. Are you ready for the full display of the goodness of God? In Exodus 34, 6, the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed his name. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and children's children to the 3rd and the 4th generation. This is the most comprehensive self-revelation of God. It demonstrates God's remarkable qualities and the goodness of God in full display. The rest of the Old Testament continues this process of the self-revelation of God until the point of Jesus. Jesus is the perfect representation of God, and God finally chooses a person to reveal to us. You know that God's goodness is essentially what is behind every calling. When we think about calling, we think about doing things for God. But have you ever think, without Moses, God can lead the Israelites out of Egypt to the promised land without using any person? The pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, it's God's way to lead them. He doesn't need any of us to complete his kingdom work. But then he invited you. He gives you a call to serve because he wants you to enjoy his goodness. I only have 2 minutes left, but I want to squeeze in a very short personal testimony. You know that last week I was not here because my mom had a stroke, and so I need to fly back very last minute to deal with some of the ramification of that event. And then Pastor Wilbur asked me, "Cindy, you know you need to preach on today, right? So do you want to reschedule so you have more time to deal with all the things that you have to handle in Hong Kong?" And then at that point, I'm like, I think I need to preach because preaching forced me to encounter God. I know that at a point when your world is crumbling down, you need to go back to God. And then obviously during the time in Hong Kong is really hectic. I need to keep a to-do list every day, to-do list in the hospital, to-do list out of the hospital. And I don't have time to do any daily devotional until the day Joyce asked me, I have picked a response song for you this week, Goodness of God. And so when I play the song, oh wow, God ministers to me. I realize there are a million things I can ask Him for healing, for how to get to the hospital that we wanted, and how to help my father to cope with the new situation. So many things that I can ask God. But at that point, I realize God is showing me His goodness. It's not solving something right away, but He wants me to experience His goodness when you felt like your world is crumbling down. And so after all, every calling from God is an invitation for you to experience His goodness. When you accept His call and step into this journey to discover Him, to serve Him, you are actually moving closer to know the heart of God so that you are able to ask for things that God will grant right away. And it's also the way that God shows you the fullness of His goodness. Please join me in standing and we'll pray together. Abba Father, You long to call each of us Your friend. You wait for our response. Your call to serve is really a call to Yourself. We pray that You will continue to pursue us. You will continue to pursue us until the point we respond to Your call, because we know this call is an invitation to Your goodness. So Father, I pray that Your Spirit will continue to work around us for this message to sink in, for us to have a desire to receive Your call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.